Hello, my name is Ella Layton and I am a student project manager at the Clark Forum for Contemporary Issues at Dickinson College. Today I am interviewing curator Catherine Gressel about her work on Picturing the Constitution exhibition, which was on display this past year at the Old Stone House in Washington Park. Thank you so much for sitting down with me for this conversation. We're very excited for you to share your experience and interpretations of this year's Constitution Day conversation.
Thank you for having me.
So to begin, for the listeners who are unfamiliar with the art world, what exactly does an art curator do?
Yeah, so I think it can depend on the context. The role of a curator, I think, used to mean primarily someone who's kind of in charge of like preserving or interpreting an existing collection of art or cultural objects. So there are still a lot of curators at art museums with, you know, specialties who are doing this kind of thing. But I think in the contemporary art world where I primarily operate, I think it's more about selecting works that kind of tell an interesting story about maybe an individual artist's current practice or how it's evolved over time or how they're responding to an issue or a space, or maybe bringing together. A lot of what I do is bringing together works by different artists that create an interesting conversation with one another, which is what I kind of did for Picturing the Constitution. I still do a lot of like research and selection of artists as a curator, but I do a lot of site-specific curatorial work in kind of less conventional spaces. So for that, I almost see myself as like more of a collaborator with the artists in the community, kind of helping artists respond and telling their stories. And a lot of what I do in those situations is also kind of acting as like a liaison between the artist and the spaces or the communities that they're working with.
Awesome, that makes sense. So with that particular experiences in general of you being a curator, can you tell me about how the idea for Picturing the Constitution came to be?
Sure. So first of all, it's kind of responding to the exhibition space, the Old Stone House, where I've been working for the past, I guess almost about 15 years now, doing different kind of site-specific exhibitions that relate to the unique history of the space, which was the site of the 1776 Battle of Brooklyn in the Revolutionary War. So we try to, for our contemporary art program, we try to connect contemporary artists and voices with those kind of historic themes relating to that. So the Constitution was kind of an obvious fit. For that space, we've done past shows on issues like looking artists working with flags or with kind of revolutionary symbolism that's incorporated into their work. So it was kind of an obvious offshoot of that. I think focusing on the Constitution at this particular time and place was also inspired by some of the past, like the political developments over the past decade, including some of the most recent Supreme Court decisions that kind of radically reinterpreted the Constitution and really brought it in like a lot more public scrutiny. And so we want to kind of take a closer look at these recent interpretations of the Constitution, as well as kind of key moments in history where it was interpreted by the court or governing bodies, and then also really looking at the original document itself and kind of what it represents, what it stands for, how effective it is today in shaping our lives.
Are there any particular cases that artists bring up that are as a common theme?
Yeah, I mean, you will notice when I present the show as a whole, there are quite a few artists that were responding to the Dobbs decision. I think just because it had, Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization, which obviously overturned the constitutional right to an abortion that was established nearly 50 years ago. And that was sort of an obvious example of where this reinterpretation by the Supreme Court, or like repicturing of the Constitution, so to speak, and what rights are it guarantees, kind of dramatically, immediately reshaped a lot of aspects of people's lives and had kind of a big sweeping public impact. So there are, you know, that was obviously on a lot of artists' minds. And before I conceived of the idea of the show, I knew that artists were already kind of responding to that decision, as well as, you know, some artists that were responding to recent decisions about the Second Amendment, voting rights, all of those sorts of issues. But that kind of jumped out, I think, is you know, something that a lot of artists were responding to. But I also knew of a lot of artists that were just kind of working with the Constitution in general and various legal texts in interesting ways in their work, such as Morgan O'Hara's Handwriting Constitution Project. So projects like that kind of also inspired the show.
Looking at Picturing the Constitution, I saw you were the lead curator, but you were not the only person involved in the curation of this show. So what was it like collaborating with Stephen Mazey and the rest of the review committee to select work for the exhibition's theme?
It's a great question. So there are some exhibits at Old Stone House where I'm kind of the main or the only curator, and I do mostly research on artists and kind of invite artists to participate either solo or two or three person or kind of small group exhibitions. But for some of our shows, we really try to have this kind of inclusive open call process, especially shows on these important current issues, so that we get kind of as many diverse voices and responses as possible. In addition to, you know, some of the artists we did invite to apply to our open call, you know, like Bongo Han was one of them, whose work I was familiar with, and so we kind of invited her to apply. She'll be speaking on the panel as well. But for a lot of our open call shows, we like to kind of bring in different voices from either from the communities that we're trying to represent or from people who are kind of experts in the field of the topic that we're trying to address, you know, because I'm not a constitutional expert myself, even though I do know a lot about contemporary artists and how they respond. So it was important to us to kind of have Stephen Mazie on board to both do an info session for the prospective applicants so that we could have kind of more informed responses to the Constitution from the artist applications. So we had like a Zoom virtual kind of info session with him and with an art historian, Jennifer Wingate, and with Morgan O'Hara. So all of them played an important role in kind of maybe providing some resources for artists who were interested in applying. We also talked about kind of the unique constraints and opportunities of our exhibition space in that info session. And then we got about probably like 50 applications. We convened the selection committee to sort of go through those and really do like a first pass. They weren't really involved, you know, from start to finish in the curatorial process, but it was more like, let's look at all these artists, we'll eliminate the ones that definitely aren't a good fit, and we'll kind of really discuss the ones and how relevant their work is to the Constitution and to each other and other themes we were interested in. So it was helpful to have kind of Stephen and Jen and others as a voice in helping select those artists. And then the final kind of curatorial decisions, such as like working with the artists to really develop the projects and deciding, you know, where to hang them in the space and the curatorial text and all that stuff was more on my plate, but, you know, also in close collaboration with the director of the Old Stone House, who's kind of always pretty hands-on with some of this stuff as well.
Continuing on asking about the themes, one idea that will be explored during tonight's presentation is how both artists and judges interpret the Constitution. Within their respective perspectives and interpretations, how do you think the role of artists and the role of judges are similar and different?
Yeah, I think when we had our original info session, even back in the very beginning, Stephen Mazie made this great point that, you know, both of them are sort of picturing the Constitution and reinterpreting it in different ways, sometimes even creative ways, because there's so much room in the original Constitution. It's such a short document and so much is not included or kind of open to interpretation, and that's kind of one of the main themes running through the show. But, you know, Stephen kind of pointed out, and I think he'll do that later today in his presentation, that artists are in the business of interpreting the world around them. So they're kind of uniquely equipped to sort of look at the Constitution in new ways. And similar to judges, I think painting a picture of what they think the text means or implies. I think both of them sometimes even cite real world examples of what people are experiencing and what the history of that has been like. I think judges are obviously, or legal experts are kind of more confined in how they can interpret the Constitution, and artists often have the freedom to kind of come up with really creative new ideas or even new constitutions or new amendments that, you know, might not actually get implemented or produce real change right away, but maybe kind of plant seeds and ideas into the public mind that could eventually influence, you know, some real legislation or something like that. And then there's obviously a long history of artists being involved in kind of activism and protests and community organizing in ways sometimes that legal professionals or government officials can't always engage in. So we kind of need artists to provide that sort of resource.
So focusing on the artists and how they actually made these works of art and picturing the Constitution, something I noticed was that they repurposed many materials such as legal documents, maps, photographs, and even the American flag. So when you were in the process of putting together this exhibition, how important was it to you to represent different materials or modes of art, and was that an important factor for the curatorial process?
Yeah, definitely. We always think about that in all of our group shows, and as well as kind of trying to represent different cultural groups, different artists of different career stages, et cetera. For this show, we wanted kind of a combination of artists engaging like more directly with the constitutional texts, and a lot of them do actually physically incorporate specific texts in the work. But some artists are engaging more with symbolism and kind of ideas behind the texts and how that might impact American life. And we're definitely building on a tradition of artists kind of repurposing those traditional patriotic symbols to comment on, you know, how the ideals of the Constitution and the values like liberty and justice are you know, actually being implemented in practice. But yeah, I think it helps to have, you know, some video work to provide context to some of the pieces, some more traditional drawing and painting, and then these really unique ways of kind of manipulating the text, like Bongle weaving different legal decisions together, for example. And then with all our shows, especially this one, it was really important to have a couple of different public programs and interactive pieces so that people could really participate directly with the Constitution. Like, we had a handwriting the Constitution session. We had a station where people could write their own amendments and, you know, also watch a performance of the Constitution being read. So it was definitely a lot of different approaches to engaging people.
Yeah, and you have stated that your curatorial work, you focus specifically on participatory art and non-traditional spaces. Besides picturing the Constitution, have there been other exhibitions in which you've incorporated participatory spaces?
Yeah, I would say the bulk of my exhibits have had something to do with responding to either like a site or a neighborhood or a public space or a community, in addition to the Old Stone House, which is obviously sort of this quirky historic site. It doesn't have a traditional white cube gallery, if you see pictures of it. I've also worked with, in like public parks, I worked with a participatory art organization called Figment that for a while was doing interactive art installations on Governor's Island. I did a project with the organization that has since closed down, but there was a great organization called No Longer Empty in New York City, and I did a project with them. They would take over vacant and underutilized spaces with art. So we did a project at a storefront on West 8th Street in the West Village, and kind of filled this abandoned space with, like, this empty space with the work that kind of commented on the history of its former use as a coffee shop, of the other businesses that were, you know, traditionally in the West Village, like bookstores or shoe stores. I had an artist who created a whole, like, book nook with books about the history of the village. We had an artist who worked with coffee cups and invited the public to help decorate coffee cups and hang them in the window. We had work that commented on the LGBTQ history in the neighborhood. So it was really a lot of work that kind of commented on the neighborhood as well as directly engaged audiences, and we worked with community partners to do public programs as well, such as the local neighborhood preservation organization. So those kinds of shows, really, I'm very excited about those because of that sort of direct involvement with the site and with the public.
So to follow up on that, what draws you to the site-specific and participatory art and non-traditional spaces, and why do you think it's important in, like, the contemporary art scene?
I think that art does have a, as I kind of mentioned before, it does have the power to engage the public in unique ways. And I think when it's considered only in like an inaccessible space, like a gallery that a lot of people might not go to, or a museum with a high admission price or something like that, I do think maybe, you know, you can attract a lot of art-interested audiences, but maybe not have that as much of an, interesting interaction with the rest of the public. And what's cool about the Old Stone House is that it's, since it is a multi-purpose space, they host a lot of other events and even space rentals and concerts and education programs for schools and things like that. You do get all these audiences that are seeing the art and responding to it that might not otherwise go to an art show. And I think that that is really cool. And, you know, I've always been interested in sort of social change and education and all those related fields, and I see kind of curating public art and site-specific art as a way to sort of combine all of my interests in that way.
I have another question about your experience doing curatorial work. There are many people at Dickinson, maybe art history majors, interested in curation. When did you know that, like, you wanted to do curatorial work, and what advice would you give to someone looking towards that career?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't have a traditional path towards being a curator. I started out as a fine arts major in my undergrad studies at Yale, and I actually got my master's in arts administration. I thought for a while I would do arts education, but I sort of realized I enjoy the program management side a little bit more than the being in the classroom. And through various jobs that I had sort of after grad school, I discovered I really love working with artists specifically. I've managed a lot of, like, teaching artists and artist residency programs, through my work at Smack Mellon Gallery for 4 years back in the 2010s. So all of that work sort of led me to really focusing on curating. I think for a while I was also doing my own kind of public art projects as the artists, like doing community murals and teaching artists kind of work and that sort of thing. But I think ultimately I realized that, you know, that definitely satisfied my desire to work with the public, but I kind of realized I really like that process of collaborating with the artists and supporting artists and sort of harnessing their really unique approaches. I think that interests me more than, and kind of writing about their work and making connections and themes, and that sort of interests me more than kind of being in the studio and experimenting with the materials myself. I think I'm more excited about like that research and outreach side of things. I would say my first curatorial experience was when I was making my own work about some of the changes going on in my neighborhood in Brooklyn, and I realized other artists were making similar work, and I just wanted to bring them all together. And I applied and got accepted into a community curating program at the Brooklyn Historical Society, where I presented my first major exhibit called Brooklyn Utopias, kind of commenting on the past and present and future of Brooklyn. And that kind of developed just from there organically into a whole series with invitations to show those kinds of offshoots of that at the Old Stone House, and then eventually developed into a formal exhibition program at the Old Stone House. So it kind of all happened a little organically. Obviously, there was like fundraising and grant writing involved and, you know, all of those different steps. But, you know, I've pursued other opportunities as well, and just really enjoy kind of always having new challenges in this area.
In addition to your advice and the experience that you've discussed in this interview, is there anything else I didn't touch upon that you'd like to share with our audience?
That's a great question. I think, I guess I'm hoping that tonight's panel will open people's minds to not only maybe closely looking at the Constitution and kind of understanding why that's important, because the Constitution has such a profound impact on people's lives. And I think it's, you know, even doing the show made me realize the importance of just going back and reading it again and again and handwriting it, you know, through that workshop. And there are just so many different ways that you can engage with it. You don't have to be an artist. You don't have to be an activist or a politician or a lawyer to sort of understand our founding documents. So I think I'm hoping that people leave the panel with that kind of message and also with maybe ideas of how they can participate more in some of these issues.
Thank you for sharing about your experience. For listeners interested in learning more about your work at the Old Stone House in Washington Park, where can they find you online?
Sure. So we have most of our past exhibitions archived online at the link theoldstonehouse.org/exhibitions. You can find, I think it's on the Clark Forum website, that link. I'm on Instagram at @KatherineGressel_curator, so you can kind of follow my personal work that way, or at Old Stone House, BKLYN on Instagram, is the Old Stone House account. So hopefully people will follow the work. You know, we also, I think, will provide links to like Bongol's work and Stephen's work, so you can follow them as well.
To our listeners, I encourage you to visit clarkforum.org for more information. Once again, on behalf of the Clark Forum, thank you so much for sharing your time and perspective today.
Thank you.